broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
As you can imagine, we have received very, very much pressure.
You listen to Fox News, that station is 24/7.
They need to be a truly international organization.
Welcome to CNN.
Thank you very much.
Right. I felt this thrill going up my leg.
You blow it!
Taking your ass to the very edge of reality. Right. Since 1990, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night, truth is our bitch, and we'll go anywhere and do anything, literally, to bring you the highest levels of entertainment and talk radio. We do things other talk shows can't. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome to our program tonight. A couple of very big stories tonight. One of them, obviously, the mosque site continues to incite and to excite, and we're going to be talking this evening to Dean Wheeler, who is a Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area activist on not only the mosque, but also the proposed burning of the Quran in Gainesville. We also have Margaret Gray with us, back with us for a second trip on her column that she wrote prior to the Labor Day weekend, predicting the number of vehicular deaths and also the number of vehicular deaths over the year 2009. These have just been released. The other big story that we will try to keep an eye on for you, it's a serious story. It's in San Francisco. There was a gas explosion of some kind, a gas main under a neighborhood in San Bruno, which is south of San Francisco. And whatever we can bring to you, we will. Our local affiliate in San Francisco, KNEW, will most likely be breaking away at times to cover that. They will have news on that. If and when we get anything that's big, we'll tell you. But it was quite a shock to see the flames coming from that neighborhood earlier this evening around 6 o'clock Pacific time when this gas main exploded. So we do we hope everybody's okay. We'll we don't really do hard news on this show, but we are going to keep an eye on that because it potentially we hope it doesn't potentially could get much worse. Traffic deaths at their lowest in 60 years. By the way, I want to mention that our website is open at philhenryshow.com. Get over there, get a backstage pass. You can watch us doing a live streaming video of the show right now. And if you were with us, you would have heard our pre-show rant, which is uncensored. And we are going to take those pre-show rants and make them available to our subscribers via our website as a podcast. So that's one extra podcast. That makes like four podcasts. Also, our affiliate spotlight tonight is on the great city of Chicago and WKRS 1220 AM. Great Chicago and great affiliate there, WKRS and Elko, Nevada. A brand new affiliate. Happy to have you guys with us. KZBI 94.5 FM in Elko, Nevada on the Phil Hendry Network. All right. Traffic deaths in the United States at a 60-year low. The Department of Transportation has released now the number of people who died on the highways of America in 2009, and that figure is the lowest in 60 years. In 1950, 33,186 people were killed. In 1950, and you have to, think, well, the population of the country was half what it is today. Half. That's how much we've grown. Not only was the population of the country half the size of what it is today, and maybe even less, obviously fewer cars. And fewer people means per capita, you would think, fewer accidents. But no, more people died. Even with the a smaller population, less cars, more people died on the road. So we're learning things, and we're getting better at things, and we're smarter about things. 33,808 people died in 2009, and that is a 9.7% decrease from 2008. So what does it all mean? Coming on the line with us from the Dicklin Syndicate, she writes a column, A Little Bird Told Me, on a daily basis, is Margaret Gray. And Margaret, first of all, welcome to our program. Welcome back.
Well, I'm very grateful for you having me back to talk about this tonight, because it's an ongoing story, and we do want to discuss it a little bit more.
All right. Well, but first of all, I want to ask you this. You said the last time you were on the program that you regularly predict traffic deaths. You predict traffic deaths.
Yes.
For your Labor Day column, and you predict traffic deaths annually. you predicted for the year 2009 how many deaths? And I understand it was in a controversial article.
Well, I didn't think the article was controversial. You might, and there are others, notably some people who align themselves with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Students Against Drunk Driving, and some of these organizations. I didn't think it was all that controversial. But I predicted that in 2000 there would be an edge over 40,000 people who would die on the freeways and the highways of America that year. Now, understand that I am bonused by way of my contract with Dicklett Syndicate, and the reason why they bonused me when I am close to being correct about these numbers is because if we are providing accurate information to our readers, this is something that we want to continue to do. And so Dicklett Syndicate, and I think it's a wonderful policy, and I am very grateful to be associated with a company like this that understands that good work does need to be rewarded. They do have this bonus system. And I think this was something that, frankly, Phil, I don't think was understood by your listeners the last time I was on your program.
So if you're close to predicting, if you said there was 40,000 some odd people killed in 2009 and the number was around 40,000, your bonus would kick in.
That is correct, yes.
And obviously it did not. 33,000 in 2009. You also had predicted, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 people dying over Labor Day weekend. And that number was low as well, wasn't it?
Well, yes, it was low. And I think it's pretty obvious. If you've been in my business for a long time, if you're a writer and if you're a good reporter, and that's what this is about, Phil, if you're a good reporter, you get a nose for what is going on in the news, and you get a nose for what is going on in the public sphere, how information is collected. I don't think there's anyone that's fooled by this. I'm sorry to see it happen. I wish some people had other things to do with their lives besides manipulating very vital information.
What are you saying specifically? What are you saying? I mean, you're saying some people's lives...
Well, what I'm saying, Phil, is that the Department of Transportation is, to coin a phrase, they're in bed with the Mothers Against Drunk Driving, with Students Against Drunk Driving, and they are very keen on making those numbers as low as possible so that these two organizations continue to get their funding. Now, I have made this accusation on your program before. I stand by this accusation.
What is your proof of this?
Well, Phil, my proof is that I said 40,000, and it's 33,000. I said 500, and it's 390. And anyone that knows me, they know that I know what I'm talking about. They know I know what I'm doing. So when I say 40,000, I can tell you right now, and you can bet your bottom dollar it was 40,000.
All right, so that's what I thought you. In other words, what you're telling me is the Department of Transportation is lying.
I think what they're doing is they're trying to keep some women who, one or two of them lost a child to a drunk driver, I understand. The Herb Benedict Foundation is a foundation that I give liberally to. He was a drunk driver that killed a family of four. He's currently serving a life sentence in the state of Oregon. We are trying to get him material so he could get his legal degree, so he can go on to get his doctorate of law and make something of himself in prison. I don't think Mothers Against Drunk Driving is doing anything other than trying to get more funding to stay alive.
And Well, hold on for a minute. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, you say, are manipulating the numbers down to continue to get money. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct, yes.
All right. And you also saying that Students Against Drunk Driving are saying the same thing. So 30,000, you say 40,000 people died, and...
40,000 people did die, I can assure you.
How do you know that for sure? That's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you why, Phil, because Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and God bless them, I don't even know what I would do if I had lost a child to a drunk driver. I really don't. That's why I've allied myself with drunk drivers, with Herb Benedict and with Marshall Luckman, two notorious and serial drunk drivers who've been responsible for 15, 20 deaths apiece. Because I don't want to know what it's like to be a mother that's lost a child. So my sympathy is with mothers against drunk driving. But you cannot let your grief carry you to the point where you have nothing else to do during the day but tell everybody about the child that you lost and get friends of yours at the Department of Transportation to squeeze the numbers so you have another year to look forward to. To me, Phil, that is just, that is not America, and that's not information.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We've got a lot of stuff that we're going through here with Margaret Gray from the Dicklin Syndicate. All right, now we get to, you say that Mothers Against Drunk Driving is keeping these numbers down so they get funding. And obviously it hurts you.
Yes, it does hurt me.
It hurts you because you don't get your bonus. The title of the article that you wrote prior to 2009, when you were predicting that there would be 40,000 deaths on the highways, was that 40,000, I believe the title is, and if I'm getting it wrong, or maybe you have it in front of you, Margaret?
Yes, I do. If 40,000 people this year will touch the face of God through a windshield. I was told it was insensitive. I was told that it was morose. I was told that it was horrific. But when I told them what I'm trying to do is brace the American people for a very, very bad piece of news, and I'm doing it by way of a little bit of humor, then my editor got it. Francesca got it. I think a lot of the people got it.
40,000 people will touch the face of God this year through a windshield, meaning they're going to fly?
Yes, they're going to go through or fly through a windshield or sail through a windshield. This was immediately attacked by people who align themselves with Mothers Against Drunk Driving and others. They said I was being, callous. Nobody cares about the reality that 40,000 people touched the face of God in 2009 and 7,000 of them have been forgotten because there's a woman out there or two who is in MAD and she wants something to do next year. She needs something to do for the next year.
That's a pretty hard statement, Margaret, for one.
Well, these are women that want to stay busy because they can't get over their grief.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray commenting on the fact that in 2009, the Department of Transportation tells us 33,808 people died. She says that's a lie. She said she predicted it right, 40,000, but that the numbers are being held down by a Department of Transportation sympathetic to getting Mothers Against Drunk Driving funding. Now, the name of her article that she wrote in 2009, 40,000 people will touch the face of God this year through a windshield, she said, was humorous to help America brace for the big shock. 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, we talk about the mosque and the burning of the Quran here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
And we'll take your calls for Margaret Gray here in a few minutes at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the vehicular deaths of Americans on the highways. Next hour, we will be talking about the Quran burning as well as the mosque in New York. But right now, the Department of Transportation released the figure 33,808 people died in 2009. On the highways of America, that is the lowest number since 1950. Margaret Gray is on the line with us, who wrote an article predicting that in 2009 there would be 40,000 people dead. Now, I understand, and I think my audience understands, Margaret, you get bonused on the how close you are to the actual number. In predicting that 40,000, you feel you're absolutely right, and the number is held down by Mothers Against Drunk Driving, who have friends in the Department of Transportation.
So let me give it to you another way. The oil industry, the health insurance industry, you can name any number of special interest groups in Washington, D.C. They all have lobbyists. They all have people that are there to, however they can do it, to massage the way, to grease the way for their point of view, for their personal enrichment or what have you. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they don't need a lobby group. Mothers Against Drunk Driving is a walking lobby group for itself. The oil industry executive doesn't have the option of standing there in front of microphones with a handkerchief full of snot from his nose. I mean, I don't know how else to put that.
Well, all right. I understand what you're saying, that there's not a sympathetic look.
No, he's not standing there with his rouge running down his face and saying, oh, please, please, please help me. Mothers Against Drunk Driving have that opportunity to stand there and get people to feel sorry for themselves. I don't know what it's like to lose a child to a drunk driver, Phil. I don't know. And my God, my sympathy goes out to those women. But why do they have to steal from me in order to get the Department of Transportation to push the numbers down so they get one more year of life, one more year for those women to have something to do, while my bonus doesn't come in? Now, I'm going to tell you one more thing, Phil. I find it very, very disingenuous for them to say that I wrote an article that was insulting. The article that I wrote...
Well, the title of the article, 40,000 People Will Touch the Face of God Through a Windshield, they said was mocking the dead.
Well, they are working with the victims of drunk driving. I work with drunk drivers. I work with Buck Everett, who's a serial drunk driver. He's now in prison in Oregon. He's working to get his doctorate in law. I work with Herb Luckman, a serial drunk driver. 15 people are dead between these two men. So I know what it's like to look into the face of a man who's incarcerated for doing these things. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they don't. And they don't care.
Well, how are these guys suffering?
Well, for starters, they're both alcoholics, so they are not allowed a drink. And I don't know if you know what that disease can do. I'm not saying I don't have sympathy for the victims of drunk drivers. What I am saying is, when are we going to look through the snot... Excuse me for saying this, Phil. When are we going to look past the snot coming out of a woman's nose and look at...
Well, I think that is an insensitive... If the woman is truly hurt, she's going to be crying. But you're saying that they are somehow putting it on so they get more money to keep their funding and to keep their little organization. All right, hold on for just a moment. I got to get to some calls here. Number 877-876-PHIL. Listening on KPVR in Bowling Green is Kent. Go ahead, Kent. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Thank you, sir. I am a pastor for one young lady, and I take totally offense. One, I work with the correction of departments here in the Lincoln County and Warren County. And I work with drunk drivers.
And what state is that in? What state is that in?
That's Missouri. It's
Kentucky?
Sweetheart.
Missouri. In Missouri.
Missouri.
And you don't call me sweetheart. Don't do that.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah, I understand. I understand. I understand that.
Well, don't call him boy.
Yeah.
Don't call him boy.
Well, he wants to start off with some smart ass act, and I'm not going to sit still for it.
Well, no.
All right, let's just be respectful here. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
Here's a couple of things. For one, you're mocking people by saying
no one calls me sweetheart.
All right, Margaret, we got that.
All right, we got that you don't have a sweetheart. Okay, you plainly showed us that you don't have a sweetheart.
No hick from Missouri calls me sweetheart.
Oh, look it.
So here's the catch with it. You mock these women and you're saying the snot running down their nose. But then on the same hand, you're so two-faced because you said, well, I've never lost a child, so I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like.
But I'll tell you this. I don't think it's fair for them to manipulate the media. Every year, you'd swear to God, they lost another child.
And you're not manipulating the media? Are you a fortune teller?
No, I'm making a prediction.
Numbers out there?
I make a prediction, and these women go to the department. They go to the Department of Transportation with snot coming out of their nose.
You don't know that that's the case. This is something that you seem to think is happening. I don't know that you even have evidence for that.
I have evidence for the fact.
You have snot.
That...
I'm sorry.
He must think he's really funny. Do you have a lot of people that come and laugh at you in your church?
I have a large church.
All right,
I'm sure that you do, because I'm sure they find you funny. Now,
You're making fun of these women.
You're really pissing me off.
All right, look, let me moderate here. We have, on the one hand, your claim that women have got snot coming out of their nose, Margaret, and that's why they're getting extra funding from the Department of Transportation. And
well, there's the music, and that's the end of the segment. So you let this man walk all over me because he's a priest or whatever he is.
No, I did not do that. Thank you, sir, for your call. I did not do that. We're running out of time.
No kidding.
Phil Hendry.
What an ass.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, well, welcome back. Margaret Gray on the line with us from the Dicklin Syndicate. She wrote a column at the beginning of 2008 entitled 40,000 People Will Touch the Face of God This Year Through a Windshield. And it was considered an insensitive piece of writing at the time, Margaret. It was considered by some to be a little bit cruel, given the realities of what drunk driving means to a lot of people. However, that being said, you think the numbers are being held down. You predicted 40,000, turned out 33,000, the lowest number since 1950.
And don't you know that the women in Bumpers Against Drunk Driving are absolutely excited and thrilled, and they are able to go to a White House luncheon. They're able to go to a function with Michelle Obama. They're able to go before the press and say, look what we did. Look what we did. Now, I don't believe for a minute that that number is accurate. I don't think that women who are basically motivated by jealousy suddenly go in front of the media and say, look what we did.
What do you mean motivated by jealousy? These are women that are...
They're motivated. Phil, I'm a woman with a profession. I have a career. I'm a writer. I write. I have a nationally syndicated column. The women in Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they don't do that. Their only validation comes walking through life and saying to anyone that will listen to them, oh, by the way, isn't it a lovely day today? And did you know my kid's dead? I don't think they would.
I wouldn't in a million years imagine those women would be so utterly insensitive and unfeeling and self-aggrandizing and almost sociopathic to walk up to people and say, isn't it a lovely day? And by the way, my kid's dead.
Advertise besides that. All right?
Well, you're a writer. You advertise that you're a writer.
No, I'm working with drunk drivers. I'm not just working with the victims. I'm working... That's the other thing. Mothers Against Drunk Driving, what victims do they work with? They're all of their victims are dead. So they don't work with anyone. They work with imaginary people, people they wish were there. I'm working with Buck Everett. He's alive. He lives. Buck Everett lives in an Oregon penitentiary.
A drunk driver, as you called him, a serial drunk driver, with along with this other guy, 15 deaths on his conscience. Here is William in Burlington, North Carolina. William, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'd like to start off
with asking Margaret if she knows who Timothy Blackwell would be, being she's very involved in helping drunk drivers who are serving time.
I don't know every drunk driver out there. No.
Okay. I'd just like to say this as a comment, not to sound harsh or anything like that.
When you said Timothy Blackwell,
you're a writer, correct?
No. Right. You're talking about Harry Blackwell.
Here's what I'm saying. Timothy Blackwell. He was the man who killed a little girl out on Guest Road. Me and my father were actually witness to this. I actually walked up to the car hoping that everybody had got out of the car. Me and my father both looked over the window and
listened. Was he a magician?
Listen.
Was he a magician?
No, he was not a magician. She's asking if he's a magician.
We found a little girl who had been thrown from her car seat to the back of the van to the front of the van by a drunk driver who had habitually been a drunk driver, even ran into the back of a police officer after ODing on heroin. And these things can be looked up online. You can actually look all this up.
That's a man that needs help.
You're a writer, correct?
That's a man that needs help.
You're nationally known.
No, I'm not a writer. No, I'm not.
Oh,
you're not a writer.
Yes, she's a writer. Why did you say you're not?
I just wanted to see if he'd stop talking.
Margaret, I will control the flow of this conversation.
Every single time I think about this, this poor little girl that I saw that was 4.5 years old who was killed by a drunk driver. I write about these things.
Buck Everett?
I don't put them out there and ask for this. Now, Matt does a
Do you know who
job.
Buck Everett is?
Here in North Carolina, Matt does a good
you
job.
Don't know Buck Everett.
Actually funding DMV for the Booze and
Buck
Loses.
Everett suffers every day.
Can you stop with Buck Everett? I want to hear what this man has to say about what he's doing in North Carolina to help this problem. Go ahead, William.
You don't hear me crying about my little brother being killed because a bus driver was negligent last year and didn't have her emergency lights on when she was stopped at a railroad crossing. You don't hear many of people having these issues because of the fact it doesn't happen all the time, and it's not something, it's an accident. It's a complete accident. People get drunk and they get in their car and they leave out somewhere.
Absolutely.
And somebody accidentally gets in the way of somebody. But the thing is it comes down to, honestly, as Timothy Blackwell, well known, he is serving a life sentence for killing one person.
Mr. Henry, this man may be slandering someone. He may be slandering someone. I don't know who he is. I do know Buck Everett.
I know about Buck Everett.
This man killed a little girl.
I don't know if this man, I don't know if this man exists. You might be making him up. You might be making him up.
All right. Stop. Margaret, I don't know what you're saying, and I know that William has a point to make, and again, we will find out all of these stories, but Timothy Blackwell did indeed in 1998. He was convicted of drunk driving in the death of this child, Megan Dale.
Where are you getting that information?
I'm getting that from my producer, Jason Rantz.
I apologize. My date's
here we go, because I understand he drinks.
Jason Rantz doesn't drink, and if he does, he doesn't drink on the job. What's the point you're making now? That my information's wrong?
I will look at it myself.
Go ahead, William.
Well, here's what I'm saying is I'm not out here lobbying for my little brother to be justified. These women are suffering just as, say, this man in jail is suffering for the fact of he made a mistake by going out and killing, what'd you say, 15 people alone? 15 people alone.
Buck Everett and Herb Luckman both together are responsible, I think, for 15 to 20 deaths. But
15 to 20.
Your little brother, Timothy Blackwell, is that's your brother, right?
No. By a bus driver.
You've been talking about your brother Timothy Blackwell.
No, she's not. Timothy Blackwell is not this man's brother. His brother was killed.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
Last year in New Bern, look up a Marine killed in New Bern. All right, now
can I ask you a question? A Marine died in New Bern, and that was your little brother?
That was my little brother last year, yes. But the little girl was killed in 1998. I have no relation to except for the fact that I saw
my wife's body. Can I ask you a question?
There
are no Marines that are 4 years old. I don't understand. A 4-year-old Marine.
Listen,
his brother's not 4 years old. The little girl was 4 years old. His brother, how old?
And looked at her body lifeless in the van after a drunk driver
killed
her.
But the Marine, you said there was a Marine that was 4. And
you know something, Margaret? If you're not listening to the guy, he said the little girl is 4 years old. His brother was a Marine. That's the difference. The little girl was 4 years old.
And bus driver that was not drunk, let me quote that again, was not drunk.
Yes.
Okay. She made a mistake by not turning her emergency lights on. My little brother ran under the bus. His pregnant wife was in the car with him. She survived the accident because he got out of his seatbelt, grabbed her, and made sure that she stayed down because he knew that she was pregnant, number one, and that it would kill them both if he didn't do something. Now, getting back to the little girl.
I think that's unusual for a 4-year-old.
His brother's not 4.
I'm saying that I'm not out here lobbying for bus drivers to be reprimanded and put in jail for this. These people get out drunk, and they go out, and they kill these people. They get in accidents. They even run off the road and hurt themselves and wreck their trucks. But when they kill somebody, they kill somebody that has a family that loses them forever.
Absolutely.
Forever.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is the following thing. We don't know how many they've killed. Mothers Against Drunk Driving say it's 40,000. Say it's 33,000. I think they're lying. And Buck Everett is a good man. And
Buck Everett's a good man. You know, Margaret.
Why don't you express sympathy for the drunk driver? I don't understand.
Timothy Blackwell killed a little girl. The lady that killed his brother was not drunk.
Well, then what's he worried about?
Because he lost his brother.
I'm saying because I'm telling you that I'm not out here, and my mom isn't out here lobbying against drunk
drivers. There's a lot of people that aren't doing it. Mothers Against Drunk Drivers is just a small organization.
Yes, a small organization that seems to have a lot of influence with the Department of Transportation, and I'm wondering if they're not using their feminine wile. And I'll leave it at that.
Boy, that's a dirty thing to say. That's
men
a dirty
who are
thing
part
to say.
Of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, that I know for a fact, I donate to that very religiously.
There's no men in that group. It's mothers.
Yes, actually,
there's men in that group.
Organized with them, yes. Just like the Walk for Life Against Breast Cancer, men go and walk for that too.
Ms. Gray, men are involved in all kinds of female issues. And what do you mean that's gay?
Don't you think it's a little gay for men to?
That's gay. I support my girlfriend every single day because of the fact that, you know, I cry with her when she's feeling sad because it just breaks my heart to see her tears roll out of her eyes. All right? Mothers have husbands.
What?
Mothers have husbands.
Why are men in mad other than get laid?
That is about the cruelest thing I've ever heard you say, Margaret, and the stupidest thing.
No, I am a journalist, all right? I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I want to know what the truth is. Why would a man join MAD, yes, I'll say it, other than to get
laid?
What a animal. William, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Is there something wrong with her throat there?
I don't know.
Well, at the end, she's like, laid. 877-876-PHIL. For your calls, we're talking with Margaret Gray this evening, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Are they holding down the numbers? They have people at the Department of Transportation holding down the numbers of fatalities on the highways so they look good, get a lot of funding, and people like Margaret look stupid. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Dean Wheeler to talk about the mosque and the Quran burning and Bud's News. And also a crazy reality show in Iraq. I don't know. It's crazy. It sounds interesting. Does your car have a bomb in it? Swear to God. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, as we speak with Margaret Gray from the Dicklin Syndicate. We're talking about the numbers of people who died from drunk driving in the year 2009. The numbers came out from the Department of Transportation, and they're much, much lower than what you've predicted, Margaret. But the fact is, they're the lowest they've been in 60 years.
Well, and Phil, you know, I find that really interesting. I find it almost conveniently dramatic that not only are these numbers the lowest that they've been in 60 years, they're much, much lower than the number that I predicted. And no one wants to look square in the face. The fact that Mothers Against Drunk Driving has turned into a self-sustaining special interest lobby that now has men as members. And as I said to that gentleman, and as my son, Jason J. Delmonico, has said to me, Mom, that is so gay. And I say that I don't mean that it's gay in the sense of it being homosexual. I'm saying that because my son, that is so gay, Mom, that men are in Mothers Against Drunk Driving. The next thing you know, they're going to be marching as if, and my, this is the way Jason put it, as if they themselves have boob cancer, is the way he put it.
Well, you know that both of those things, you know, I got to tell you something, Margaret. Your son talks that way to you, huh?
My son is very comfortable talking to his mother, yes.
Well, both of those things that he said are rather ignorant.
Well, Phil, I want you to be very careful who you call ignorant. That is my son.
All right, I don't want to call him names, but I'm telling you that for a boy to say to his own mom, are there men and Mothers Against Drunk Driving? That is so gay. I just heard you say it on the show not a few minutes ago to that caller. Are you influencing your son?
No, I don't think I'm influencing anyone. So my son thinks for himself. My husband thinks for himself. And I allow a husband to think for himself, even though, as you know, he is in the later stages of a terrible condition, a syphilitic condition.
I understand that.
That makes it very difficult for him to think and to express himself. But I could get Frank. Frank, what do you think of Mothers Against Drunk Driving?
Well, I think Mothers Against Drunk Driving. I saw the person that started Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and he looked like a sensible woman.
Did you hear what he said? He looked like a sensible woman. That's a man who's losing his mind because he wasn't treated in time for a venereal disease. But I married him anyway. And you know why? Because I loved him. And I love my son. And I'm not going to throw either one of them out into the street, into the sewer of America, because my son happens to think it's gay that men belong to Mothers Against Drunk Driving, or that my husband can't tell a woman from a man. I'm sorry, I'm very...
I know it's emotional for you.
It's very emotional.
But for you to sit there and say that you were right, 40,000 people died in 2009 to drunk driving accidents, and Mothers Against Drunk Driving manipulated the numbers because there's a lot of guys that are joining up to get laid. I mean, you're trivializing what those women do.
No, I can't trivialize what they do. They have had, excuse me for saying this, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, do you disagree that they've had their, to be a lady about it, that they've had their hind ends kissed up one cheek and down the next? Would you agree with that?
No, I would not agree with that. I don't know what you mean by that. I think there have been a lot of people sympathetic to something that has been a dangerous epidemic in this country and around the world for a long time. Drunk drivers, the result of alcoholism, yes. The result of irresponsible youth drinking, yes. But the human toll has been so brutal. I just gave the number there. 33,000 in 1950 when the country, population-wise, was half the size than it is today.
You don't know that.
I don't know what, that the country was half the size it is today. I know that there were there were fewer human beings and there were fewer cars. That means that the people driving back then must have been driving irresponsibly.
No, that does not mean that at all. We did not have the superhighways we had then. We had two-lane dirt highways. We expected people to get to work every morning on a mule path in a high-performance sports car. It's not going to happen. Yes, people die. But Buck Everett is dying inside right now. He's dying spiritually. And so is Herb Luckman. And that's why I have written the articles that I've written, Phil. It's why I've done the speaking that I've done. We have cell phones. We have iPods. We've got GPS, all sorts of gadgets. And you're telling me that less people are dead now. Please, Phil. This screams abuse of the facts and Mad, and even Mad Magazine. And I think it's, I really think it's appropriate they call themselves Mad because it reminds me of Mad Magazine. I really do.
Isn't that grown up?
I really do. I'm going to start calling them Mad Magazine.
Oh, that'll be real grown up, and I'm sure people will think it's real funny, too. Mad Magazine. And the fact that your son is saying, Mom, that's gay, and men don't die from boob cancer, do you ever correct him?
I don't limit my son's horizon, Phil, like you might with your children. I don't smack my son down every time he's being creative, every time he's expressing a youthful exuberance, every time he's seeing life through his young eyes. I don't slap him across his face.
Okay, so when he says that men don't die of boob cancer, why are they walking with those women for breast cancer? You just celebrate that.
Yes, I do, because I love them.
Margaret, I'm not trying to offend your family.
Yes, you
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call in Winston, North Carolina. This is Angela. Go ahead, Angela. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yes, hi. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question, and I know it's a lost subject from where you've gone on, but Miss Marjorie was saying that she thought, and her son thought, in her own words, that it was gay for a man to be in Mad. And I'm wondering what she meant from that. She hasn't really explained it. I know that she mentioned that it wasn't a gay connotation, but what in that word, what in the sense of gay would it be for a man to be in Mad?
Just as if he were speaking. It's just gay. It's just gay, you know. Like my son said, Mom, are there men in Mad? And I said, yes. And he goes, oh, well, that's gay. And I said, well, I said that on the Phil Hendry Show. He said, yes. I heard you, Mom.
So your son's influenced by what you're saying.
No, I was influenced by him.
But the dictionary meaning of the word gay is happy. So in a sense, you're saying that it's a happy thing for a man to be a mat. So you're actually contradicting yourself.
How am I contradicting myself?
Because if you're saying that it's gay, then you're using it in its plain context. And the dictionary context of gay would be happy.
Is that right? Oh, okay.
So
well,
I
don't know how far I've got to go with this woman, Phil.
Well, she's because asking you, what do you mean by gay?
If I said to you that you're gay, you'd think that I'm saying you're happy, right?
Well, there's two different meanings from that. I'm happy,
but
I'm asking you what
that means. I thought you looked
that's
in the dictionary and you found... Well, you said
that,
you looked in the dictionary. You looked in the dictionary.
Why
did you look in the dictionary if you're asking me?
Well, what do you mean by gay?
What does the dictionary say? What's the dictionary say?
That would be happy. So you're saying that you're happy?
Well, I'm saying that... Yeah, I'm...